It was a great way to start the brand out. I call it drafting when a small company hitches its wagon to a big brand, and we were able to leverage the Starbucks brand to grow our brand out of the gate.
I'm your host, Dave Knox, and this is Predicting the Turn, a show that helps business leaders meet their industry's inevitable disruption head on.
Welcome to another episode of Predicting the Turn. Today, we sit down with Clay Alexander, who is the founder and chairman of Ember. Clay, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave. It is great to be here, and thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. Let's start by diving into Ember for those that might not be familiar with the story. Can you give a brief overview and the backstory of what inspired you to launch the business?
I would be happy to. It's even though we're known today as the company that created the world's first temperature controlled coffee mug and baby bottle, and now the self-refrigerated medicine shipping box, it actually all started with scrambled eggs. I created the world's brightest LED light bulb, and I sold it to GE in 2009. And I had come off of a lot of thermal science engineering, so I had moving heat energy around on my mind. And I'm having scrambled eggs with my wife, sitting in the kitchen, enjoying a nice breakfast. And I get about halfway through the eggs on my plate, and they get cold. And I thought, gosh, every time I have scrambled eggs, they get cold on my plate. And this is the 21st century. Like, at a bare minimum, my dinner plate should be able to keep my food at a decent eating temperature. So I started strapping RC car batteries and temperature control circuitry to the dinner plates in my kitchen, and I created the world's first self-warming dinner plate and started eating my meals off of it, right? You salmon, steak, you get 30 minutes into the meal, you cut that last bite into the salmon and steam comes out, and it's the perfect flavor and perfect temperature. And it was really an aha moment. And I remember looking around the kitchen and thinking, coffee mugs, soup bowls, chafing dishes, baby bottles, and all the things that could benefit from embedding temperature control. So I'm a patent guy. I have over 250 granted patents worldwide. And at the time, I thought, I better try to file some IP. And so I started filing patents on this idea of embedding temperature control into all forms of drinkware and dishware. And from there, you know, filing the patents, I self-funded Ember for the first 5 years. I had a small team, and we were doing all the R&D in our lab and such. And we basically got to the point where we were ready to launch a product, and I needed to go out and raise some money. And we had, at the same time, got our first granted patent, which was a big win for us, because sometimes patents can take up to 5 years to go from a filing to a grant. Anyways, we ended up launching with Starbucks. This is the short version of the story, in 2016. And we sold out the world's first temperature controlled coffee mug. And we ended up selling out all across the country within 7 days. And Starbucks thought they bought enough inventory to last 6 weeks. So it was an amazing launch story. You'd go into the Starbucks stores and the baristas would have a handwritten list of all of the customers that have come in. Hey, when you get Ember back in stock, will you call me on my cell phone? There's this list of cell phone numbers when I would go in and talk to the baristas. It was really exciting. We were getting emergency POs to get Ember back in stock, and we were air freighting pallets into the country. And from there, Starbucks said, gosh, this is really working. We're able to sell your products in our lobbies. Before Ember, Starbucks was only able to really sell $20 thermoses and flasks and bags of coffee. And now all of a sudden they're selling a $150 consumer electronic product. So it went really well for launch. We ended up coming back to them with what we call the ceramic mug, which is our mug with the handle on it. And we launched that the following year into 4,600 Starbucks stores, and we sold 110,000 units in the first 6 weeks. So big success out of the gate. We got a lot of news headlines. Starbucks and Ember launched the world's first smart cup. And it was a great way to start the brand out. I call it drafting when a small company hitches its wagon to a big brand, and we were able to leverage the Starbucks brand to grow our brand out of the gate. From there, we ended up going around to all the different retailers, Target, Best Buy, Williams Sonoma. And it was a fun part of the journey. We ended up getting in all the stores. And Dave, if you fast forward to today, Ember today is in over 27 countries around the world. We're in over 5,000 retail locations. We sell, this year we're on track to sell more than 1 million Ember mugs, which works out to about an Ember mug sold every 30 seconds, which is pretty impressive. So that's the high level of how we brought our consumer brand to market.
So let's dig in on that Starbucks story a little bit more. Every startup out there has that, oh, if only I could work with these guys, that would be the perfect world. How did you go from having this idea to convincing the world's largest coffee company to put you in store and take a bet on what at the time was an unproven kind of business and opportunity?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it was not easy. I tried, as we were developing the Ember mug, Dave, I tried for almost 2 years to get into Starbucks because I didn't want Ember to be considered a gadget. I wanted to create an aspirational consumer brand, a great coffee drinking experience. And so I knew that if I launched the brand without a big partner like that, we had the danger of possibly being considered a gadget. And so I really wanted to launch with Starbucks. They were obviously the 1,000-pound gorilla in the space. And we just kept trying and trying. We got a lot of friendly no's. And eventually I got introduced to Howard Schultz. So I have a mutual friend of Howard, and I got an introduction, and Howard just loved the Ember mug right off the bat because Howard's thought was, wow, this could actually improve our core product being coffee, right? So if you can sip on that perfect cup of coffee and every single sip is the same temperature every time, that actually would improve Starbucks' core product. So Howard loved it. That meant that all of a sudden I'm getting called up to headquarters and we had multiple meetings up there with a room full of executives. We were the fastest launch in Starbucks history. From the time we did the pitch to the time we were on shelves was 2 months, which is a big deal for an organization of that size. And then I did allude to the success of the launch earlier on here. So it was, they're a great partner to this day. We're still in Starbucks store from 2016. Now it's 2024 and we're still in Starbucks stores, not in all of their stores. We're in the reserve stores and we actually made a special Starbucks branded Ember mug where it's got the little Starbucks logo on the actual Ember mug, the reserve logo.
Oh, that's amazing. So you took us through some of these pivotal moments, getting the meeting with Howard Schultz, launching with 110,000 units sold in 6 months. When you look back on that journey, what were the other pivotal moments of Ember's growth that took you from that initial launch to something that has laid the foundation for everything we're about to talk with in the future?
Yeah, that's a great question. My mind, whenever I'm asked that question, I go straight to the Apple Store launch. Once we were in Starbucks, that was like, at the time for us, the Holy Grail, right? And we were pinching ourselves and we couldn't believe that we were attached to the biggest brand in coffee in the world. And from there, we thought, what's the best big next move for us? And we really wanted to get in the Apple stores. And actually, to answer your question, I would say it's the launch with all of our major retailers because each one of those has its own story, right? When we launched with Best Buy, it was massive for us. When we launched with Costco, it was massive for us. When we launched with Target, it was massive for us. The one that comes to mind is the Apple launch. And because it was a global launch and it was a global launch that happened on the exact same day. So trying to get into Apple for a long time, was flying up to Cupertino a lot, doing the pitch. And Apple doesn't mess around. Getting their stores is a big deal. They had to test our product for a year. We did a lot of different things. Demi Lovato is one of our investors. She sent an Ember mug to Tim Cook. We were pulling every lever that we could because we really wanted to be in the Apple store. And we finally got the green light. They love our product. They felt that it was very Apple-esque. And they basically said to us, because we were ready to launch with them in North America, and they basically said to us, look, the main way we like to do product launches is globally. We very rarely will launch a new product just in the US. We want to try to hit global. So they said to us, we would like to launch Ember in 27 countries on the same day. And oh, by the way, this calendar year. And it was like, wow. And we went back, and I remember having these meetings with our leadership team going, guys, are we capable of going from a US brand with US certifications, US language on our packaging, US language on our app, US customer support, US distribution into 27 countries this year? Are we capable of doing this? And it was like, we needed to set up distribution, customer service, and we had to go get certified in all these countries. We had to put power supplies for each country. Different countries have different wall plugs, different voltages, all that stuff. And we said, we can't turn this down. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to launch our brand globally, and we're being handed it to us on a silver platter. So we decided to do it. And that was one of the craziest years in Ember's history. We were running around like crazy. We were all over the world flying around, you know, meeting with distribution, distributors and customer service centers, and engaging with multi-language translation companies. We had to build out our app to work in all these countries. And it was just a big deal. And I remember the day of our international launch, I was in London at the time, and it was so rewarding to walk into the Apple store in London, the main one there. They have multiple, obviously, and just go in and see the Ember mug on the wooden, beautiful wooden shelf, illuminated. And I walked up and I talked to the folks in the store and I told them I'm with Ember. They all lit up. They were super well-trained. They all knew the script on how to talk about Ember, what it did, what's the value proposition of the product. And Apple did that all over the world on the same day. I commend Apple for their incredible operations and how they were able to pull that off. And we just felt so proud. And we're one of the longest standing third-party products in Apple stores. We're still in Apple stores to this day. So very proud of our partnership with Apple. In fact, we developed an Apple Health integration where when you pour a cup of coffee in your Ember mug, we actually start the heart rate tracker on your Apple Watch, and we're able to correlate your heart rhythms with your caffeine intake and then sleep that night as well. You can obviously turn this on or off, but we've done a lot of really fun things with Apple. We just launched our newest travel mug, has the Find My feature. So you can beep the travel mug from your iPhone and you can locate it with GPS as well.
Talent is a big part of predicting the turn. And as we talk about talent, I wanted to mention one of our sponsors, Hunt Club. Imagine the power of the best marketers in the world helping you to find your next marketing leader. That's the power of Hunt Club. Hunt Club is a new category of talent company that powers the network of experts, connectors, and business leaders to help you find the best talent. Let's face it, recruiting hasn't changed with the times. Hunt Club is changing the recruiting game by leveraging technology and crowdsourced referrals to find you the best people possible for your company. Stop paying job boards that don't work or recruiting firms that recycle the same active candidates. Partner with Hunt Club.
You started the story off with this all came because of cold eggs and wanting to change that. When in the journey of Ember did you decide it was time to launch the next product that wasn't just about keeping your coffee warm?
Okay, that's a great one. So I have a beautiful daughter. She's 12 years old. Her name's Charlotte. And when she was born and we were going through the feedings, and my wife did most of the feeding, every once in a while it was dad's turn. And I remember Charlotte screaming and crying and turning purple. And I'm getting her out of her crib, and I'm bringing her downstairs and taking her to the kitchen and taking a bottle out of the fridge, putting it in a bowl of hot water. My wife would never let me use the microwave to warm the milk. And so the bottle's bobbling around in this bowl of hot water, and Charlotte's losing her mind and turning red and pink. And I just thought, this is so archaic. I'm squirting milk on my wrist to try to figure out, is this the right temperature for the baby? And I thought, there's got to be a way, better way. Why can't the baby bottle itself actually warm up the milk to body temperature and track it? And so that was the origin story of why I wanted to create the world's first self-warming baby bottle. And long story short, we just launched that product last year, the Ember baby bottle. It's our infant feeding system. And it has, you know, really taken off. We're getting rave reviews. It's solving for a major parenting issue. There's a thermal dome. So the way the Ember baby bottle works is you take the milk or formula out of the fridge, put it on this like hockey puck, magnetic hockey puck, and then you put a thermal dome over the bottle, and it keeps the milk cold for up to 4 hours on the go. So you have this little infant feeding system, and it's a small little device, and you can put it in your diaper bag or your backpack or stroller or whatever. And when your baby starts to cry, you just open up your phone and click warm milk. And it warms the milk inside your bag, and it warms it in about 4.5 minutes. So most of the plug-in appliances that you can buy, these bottle warmer, you plug it in and it boils water around the bottle. Those take around 7 minutes. So we're able to beat the time, but more importantly, and I would say a lot more important, is that we're portable. It's battery powered. So you can be anywhere. You can be at Disneyland, you can be in the park, you can be in the store, and we can just warm that milk right on up. And it solves for a lot of parenting pain points, and we're very proud of the product. But Dave, that's what took us from being known as a coffee cup company to now, wait a minute, Ember's a temperature control brand. And that's the way the world's perceiving us now.
Now, when you talk about the story of launching Ember Mug, you talk about how important Starbucks and Apple were in that original journey. As you launched this new product, how do you think about that same level of partnership? Were there those same types of brands you wanted to go after, or were you in a position you could do it really on your own because of the amazing growth you'd had over the history of the business?
Yeah, that's a great question, Dave. By the time we launched the baby bottle, we were about 5 years in of building the Ember brand on a global scale. And I'm really proud to say that Ember has over 1 million opt-in email addresses. We have a big audience. That's just the folks that we have their email address, right? Like, we communicate with our audience. Our audience just continues to grow and grow. And our brand now is recognizable. And so we decided to launch the baby bottle as a direct-to-consumer play. And we ended up going on a few of the registries, because that's really important, where we kill it on the registries. And that's how we launched the product. And that way we could control the marketing. If you go to Ember's website, ember.com, and you click on baby, you can see some of the really nice branding and marketing and videos and images. And we wanted to control that, right? 100% control it. And so that's how we launched the baby bottle. I will say that confidentially, we are about to launch with several exciting retailers this year with the baby bottle. But it was really nice to be able to control that launch and control the marketing and control the messaging.
So building upon that, you went from the coffee mugs to baby. Now you're seen as a temperature control business and kind of that broader brand equity. That's now taken you into things like Ember Life Sciences and the Ember Cube. Can you tell us more about that, including the pretty exciting news that you've had recently from a recognition for that?
Yes. Hey, I'm glad you saw that. Just yesterday, we won the Fast Company World Changing Ideas Award, which is so beyond exciting for us. more than 5 years of hard work developing the Ember Cube. And to get that type of recognition is just fantastic. And we're all so, so happy and so grateful. So I'll talk a little bit about the Ember Cube, and then we can maybe talk about how we got there. The Ember Cube is the world's first self-refrigerated cloud-based shipping box. So essentially, we're trying to solve this problem. Right now, the world moves around, or actually we lose roughly $35 billion a year of medicine due to spoilage, due to temperature excursions, if you can believe that. And so this is a big problem that we're trying to solve. So we've created this shipping box that has real-time cellular monitoring, data, humidity, ambient, all those conditions are monitored in real time. And the other thing about the box is that it returns itself. So the box has a cellular radio and communicates with the cloud. And when the box lands at its destination, whether it's the patient's doorstep or a doctor's office, et cetera, you can push a button on the box that says return to sender. We use the cellular radio in the box to communicate with the cloud, and we automatically schedule a UPS or FedEx pickup, come back down to the box, print the shipping label on the screen of the box. The Ember Cube actually has its own screen, which prints its own shipping labels. So long story short, you don't have to do much thinking. You just receive your medicine, take it out of the box, push the return to sender button, and there's a FedEx or UPS truck that's going to come pick it up by the next morning, and it's already printed its own return shipping label. So our technology, and one of the reasons we were recognized by Fast Company, we did a deep dive lab analysis with Intertech Labs, and what they discovered is that when a customer uses an Ember Cube versus today's current technology, and by the way, today's current technology is cardboard, styrofoam, and ice packs. When you use an Ember Cube instead of that, there's a 92% reduction of CO2 emissions for every shipment that you make of medicine. So not only are we solving temperature control, temperature adherence, monitoring of the medicines, but we're also solving for a lot of other really important things like sustainability, for instance. So we're really proud of the invention. So how did we get into Ember Life Sciences? Back in the day, we were developing all this really great cold chain technology, refrigeration technology, heating technology. And we got some introductions to the Mayo Clinic through one of our board members, Wyatt. And we took a lot of different meetings out there. And our idea was, how do we unearth the pain points in healthcare around temperature control? And lo and behold, in almost every conversation, it came back to medicine, whether it's cell and gene therapy at negative 150, biologics or insulin at 5 Celsius. And the Mayo Clinic started to share with us, you know, their concerns about the current shipping of medicines, where it just shows up on the dock. Sometimes the ice packs are squishy. There's no tracking or tracing. They don't really know the temperature adherence of the medicine. And that's the origin story of why we decided to try to go and attack this problem. Thankfully, the Mayo Clinic kind of pointed it out to us. And then we started taking meetings with all the big distributors and pharmacy, really drilling into it. And that's why we created the Ember Cube. And there's a lot of iterations. We started with a version that had active refrigeration while it was shipping. And then we eventually ended up with a hybrid system where the refrigerator runs when it's on house power. But when you pull it off house power, it's active. We actually pre-charge a tank of phase change material within the Ember Cube, which is what you would essentially call stored cold energy. And then we can use that stored cold energy to keep the medicines at 5 Celsius for up to 72 hours in the summer. So anyways, I talked a lot about that, but there's a lot to get out there.
Oh, but that's incredible. You know, one of the things that you mentioned early on in the intro is, you know, at your heart, you're an inventor. You have over 200 patents to your name. And there's a lot of people that have ideas of things that they see in the world and they want to make it better, but they might not know where to start. They don't know how to bring that idea to life. What advice do you give to aspiring entrepreneurs and inventors that want to follow in the footprints of the amazing career that you've had?
Oh, that's a good question. My mind is bouncing around in terms of where to start. If you're in the early phases and you have an idea or an invention, I think it's really important you file a patent before you even go to talk to anyone. There's so many stories out there of inventors that come up with something, they go to talk to a big company, and the big company says, gosh, thanks for the idea. But if you go in and you say, oh, I filed a patent on this, then they're not going to touch it. So, and there's a whole thing on patenting, and I've become a bit of a kind of mini patent attorney over the years, just learning about all the patent law. So I would say protect yourself, really get some IP, some patent protection around your idea. And then, you know, what's worked for me in my career, if I give you the short answer, is perseverance. I just believed in the Ember mug so much that no matter what anyone would say to me, I had to do it. I had a gut feeling that the world was going to appreciate and love the concept and the technology and just enjoying a wonderful cup of coffee at your perfect temperature while you look out at the view out your window and you're just having a sip and you're enjoying your morning or afternoon or whatever it may be. And I had this vision, and it was a bigger than life vision. And people would say to me in the early days, Clay, have you lost your mind? You're going to try to sell a coffee cup for $100. Coffee cups are $3. Are you crazy? So for every 10 investors I went to, 9 would say that. And 1 would say, gosh, you might actually have a pretty good idea here. I'll invest, you know? And it's just this idea of just never giving up and grinding and grinding. But you got to really believe in yourself and in your vision and be able to clearly your vision, explain your vision, convince people of your vision, and just know that honestly, the truth is most people are going to say no, and you just need that one yes. Think about Starbucks. I got multiple no's over 2 years, and I got one yes from Howard. So that's my advice. I could keep going on and on about this stuff, but that's what comes to mind, Dave.
I love it. I can't think of a better place to wrap up the conversation than with those inspiring words for the future entrepreneurs. So thank you for sharing.
Oh, you're very welcome. And I'm honored to be on your show.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Thanks so much for listening. If you like the show, hit that rating and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And for more resources, head over to predictingtheturn.com.